Good day. Welcome back to First Take. We've had some notable head coaches fired in the NBA this season. One being Taylor Jenkins, who was fired by the Memphis Grizzlies with about 2 weeks left in the season, despite a 44-29 record. Another big surprise came when the Nuggets fired Michael Malone days before the end of the regular season. The Nuggets were fighting for a top four seed in the West. We're also 15 games over 500. And now the Knicks letting go of Tom Thibodeau after snapping their longest conference finals drought in franchise history. The Knicks had three 20-point comeback wins this postseason after having none from 1970 to 2024. In total, Tom Thibodeau won 24 playoff games in five seasons with the Knicks. That's three times as many playoff wins as the previous 12 Knicks head coaches combined, who have won seven from 2006 to 2020. Our coach is here, Detroit Pistons head coach, J.B. Bickerstaff. Great to have you, J.B.
So, happy coach, to be here.
I want to start with you on this. What do the coaching firings say about the coaching landscape in the NBA today?
It's not an easy job. I think that's first and foremost. We're no longer being on the judged on the job that we're asked to do. Like, we have to do more. Every year, we sit down with our front offices. We lay out a plan of what a successful season looks like. If you ask anybody in the New York Knicks organization, you know, outside looking in, you make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's a successful job that Tibbs has done. I can't speak enough about the respect that he has in coaching circles, about the job that he's able to do. You know you're in a dogfight every time you face a Tibbs-led team. And I think he went out and did that with the Knicks. But, again, we have to do more, and we have to overachieve in order to just continue to progress and move forward.
Stephen A.?
Let me say this to you. You're absolutely right. It is a tough job. I think you epitomized that. I mean, when you got let go by Cleveland, you did a hell of a job, okay? Atkinson came, and he obviously did a hell of a job, so nobody's here to throw any kind of shade on him. But I can say this proudly because I have a vote. You were my coach of the year. I voted for you as coach of the year. I thought you did an outstanding job in Detroit, and props to you. But it's haphazard. We understand it. And it's that way because of player empowerment to some degree in terms of the money that's being paid, the money that's being doled out. And even though NBA owners are making money, claiming that they don't, claiming all the time that they're struggling on a year-to-year basis and they don't really make money until they sell a team when, in fact, one could argue they are making money, so they should stop that nonsense. The level of impatience plays a role. I think one of the other things, Doggy, that should be mentioned, and I think Coach will agree with me here, the age of analytics has taken fold as well, where you have a lot of people that are looking at numbers. I can tell you right now on national television, and he'll probably be mad at me for saying this, but damn it, he ain't the one that told me, so guess what? He wasn't a source on this. One of the things that made Daryl Morey expedite his move out of Houston, they had lost a game, Doggy, and I believe it was a playoff game. And he walked up to owner Tillman Fertitta and showed him analytics, stats, and pointed out, he said, we really, really won, even though they had lost the game. From that moment forward, Fertitta was done. He wanted him gone. He was like, he has to go. He had just lost it, okay? You know, I know this from very reliable sources. I'm highlighting those things to point out that the climate has changed. The personnel that has infused the game has changed. What criticism or what critiques once existed has changed. The eye test, its importance has dissipated compared to analytics in some circles. At least that's the belief. And when you combine that with the fact that so much money is being paid to these players, if you can't maximize their potential, that's a really bad sign. But when those same individuals who's getting paid, whose potential you can't maximize, then speaks against you, you almost feel compelled to flow with them because they're the guaranteed investment that you can't wiggle your way out of, which leaves you at the behest of them. And all of those things have contributed to elevating the difficulty of coaching and the coaching profession, which is something the president of the Coach Association, Rick Carlisle, has spoken out against along with others. And I can say this, JB, and I think you know this. There are very few people that has ever existed that's more protective of coaches than Rick Carlisle. This man,
for sure.
I've known this man for almost 30 years. This guy, Rick Carlisle, when you talk about a coach needing support and attention being brought to what ails the coaching profession, there is no better advocate for coaches than Rick Carlisle. Nobody's better. This man points it out. And I haven't heard from him yet, but I don't need to know what words are going to come out of his mouth when he's asked to comment about the exodus of Tom Thibodeau from the New York Knicks franchise. Nobody's going to be more furious than Rick Carlisle. I already know, and I haven't even spoken to him yet.
Mad Dog, do you feel like coaching expectations are unfair now?
Yeah, absolutely. Two things. First off, Daryl Morey is the most overrated general manager in the history of professional sport. He's never been to a final. I mean, enough of Daryl Morey with his data and his nonsense. Number two, I love Atkinson, and he got a raw deal from the Nets. But let's be fair, and I'm not just saying this because he's on Mad Dog Radio tomorrow. This guy did as good, went further in the playoffs than he did. He played the Celtics last year, who were the defending champs, and he didn't have Allen the whole series, and Mitchell didn't play in the last game, and gave the Celtics won a game, who won a title and played very well in it. Atkinson got not beat, got blown out by Indiana in the same round. Same round. So the idea that we bring Atkinson in, this means we win a championship. Well, JB did the same thing that Atkinson did, essentially, because it's about the playoffs in basketball. But I tell you guys who do this, and I mean you too, JB, God love you. I mean, I'm an old school guy in sports. The coach is the boss. When a coach tells you to do something, you do it. And you just, I don't care what they're paying you. You have to have a level of authority. And you don't love the coach, deal with it. And we've lost that in sports today. You got to have sort of a 50-50 partnership with these athletes. And if you don't and it goes away, the athlete then goes to the front office making $50 million a year. I'm not playing for this guy. And then he doesn't put his name to it. That's the one of these. I've always given Magic Johnson credit. Because when Magic wanted Paul Westhead out of there in L.A. 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
He said so.
He said it. He said, hey, listen, put the blame on me. I don't want him here. We don't want to play for him. I'll be the boss. They end up winning the championship. Players don't do that today, which drives you crazy. But you can speak for anything else. God bless you. God bless you.
No, you may have gotten a raw deal, but I like you in Detroit better. I'm happy where you like
listen,
it.
Listen, I'm happy where I am. You know, there are a lot of talented coaches out there. And from a coach's perspective, when someone fills the job that you lost, you wish them well and want them to be successful. Like, I wish Kenny all the best. I wish that staff all the best and hope they are successful. From us, what we're trying to figure out is, you know, as a coach, what is my job? What are the expectations? And how do I continue to move those expectations forward? The best organizations in this league are the teams and organizations that are the most consistent. When things get bumpy, when things get rocky, the things that they do is they hunker down onto the things that they believe in, the people they believe in, the players they believe in, and those are coaches as well. Like, when you bunker down with a coach you believe in, you give yourself that consistency so that you can be consistent in the long term. And that's why I say this now. I'm obviously biased, but I'm truly blessed to be where I am with Trajan Langdon, with Tom Gores, because they're the type of people that when it gets tough, they've got my back and they've shown that.
Well, I will say this to you, couple of things. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Tom Gores. I've heard a lot of good things about him. I've heard a lot of good things about him, and I had the pleasure of meeting his wife at Madison Square Garden when you guys were there. I would tell you that. I would also say to you that Trajan Langdon, this kid is underrated. I mean, he's doing some special things in Detroit, and I give him a lot of props, okay? And I'm reticent about giving props to Duke dudes because I got to deal with Billy King all the damn time and Jay Williams and now J.J. Redick and, I mean, then Grant Hill, who I love dearly. I mean, you got to deal with these people. But it's important to point this out, Doggy. You brought up the players and how, you know, it drives you crazy, you know, because they don't put their name to it and all that stuff. That you're right about that. You should be. They should put their name to it. That's true. But it's not that you don't want them to have a voice. You just want them to be accountable because they're the ones on the basketball court. But ultimately, they're not the ones that hired the coach. And they're not the ones who, in an official capacity, fired the coach. That's management, which is why when we talk about Leon Rose, and to a lesser degree, James Dolan, if you want to say that, it is inexcusable what we're seeing from the New York Knicks because devoid of the responsibility of having to give an explanation to a fan base, you operate with impunity. You don't get to be held accountable. The only way a fan base can get at you is to not patronize and support your product. That's not showing up to the games. That's not watching you on television. And this is their source of entertainment and a distraction from what ails you in the real world, per se. You're not going to avoid going to the games. You're not going to avoid watching the games, especially if the team is competitive. They know this. And it's a damn shame that executives and owners get away without having to stand before the public and say, this is why I made this decision. This is where I stand. I'm the one. The buck stops with me. And to see Leon Rose and James Dolan conduct themselves in a different fashion, I've called it cowardice, and I meant it. And I'm not stuttering. I'm not backing up one inch from those words. And I tell them to their face if they were in front of me right now. What they did with their explanation is ridiculous. New York Knicks fans deserve to know. What is your rationale behind letting go of Tom Thibodeau? We don't have to agree to it, but you shouldn't have to evade us and avoid us before answering that damn question with us looking right at you.
Well, maybe they'll expound upon it now. We'll leave it there.
I wouldn't count on it.
Kimberly, let's get to it, girl. Obviously, you're a New York native.
Yes.
How do you feel about Tibbs being fired as head coach of the Knicks?
He deserved better. Let's just call it what it is. I understand played guys too many minutes, but I've been a Knicks fan. It has been, think about how.
What borough are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn.
Okay.
But think about how amazing the energy in the city has been. 4 out of his 5 years, his team made the playoffs. We were a joke, And for this team to, I don't know, maybe fall back in love with basketball again. And if you had told Knicks fans at the start of the season, you guys are going to beat the Celtics, defending champs, and you would get to game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, we would have signed up for that in a heartbeat. Think the way they played, he earned himself another year. And you just want to make sure that this is not a team that's going backwards instead of taking steps forward.
I know someone that co-signs.
I'm with you. Good job. Nice to have you with us, Kimberly.
Thank you, baby.
Orange and blue skies no more for Tom Thibodeau. Just a few days after the Knicks fell to the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Knicks announced they're moving on from the head coach, fans, players, and execs. Throughout the league, we're stunned by the news as Tibbs led the Knicks to their first conference finals appearance in 25 years. Here's the statement from Knicks president Leon Rose on the decision. Our organization is singularly focused on winning a championship for our fans. This pursuit led us to the difficult decision to inform Tom Thibodeau that we've decided to move in another direction. We cannot thank Tom enough for pouring his heart and soul into each and every day of being the New York Knicks head coach. Ultimately, we made the decision we feel is best for our organization moving forward. Tom will always be part of our Knicks family, and we wish him truly nothing but the best in the future. Now bring in our guy, Brian Windhorst. Windy, top of the morning to you. Windy, any announcements before I come to you?
No, I just know that when you're the lead-in, technically you're kind of below. So I'm just analyzing who the lead-in is here. And as a reporter, I just have to point that out.
Well, what do you make of the fact that I'm the lead-in, but then then he leads into me when I re-air?
It's a good follow-up. I'll get back to you.
And not only that, not only is it a good follow-up, but remember, it's not that you could just re-air the show, but if stuff happens between 3 and 6 and I decide I want to go on live, I can do that too.
Oh, now he's negotiating, Mad Dog. All I know, Molly,
it's not a negotiation.
The first hour was just a lead-in to me. Now we can get for real here.
Okay, Windy, here's what I need to know from you. What is the latest on the New York Knicks?
Well, you know, this is an interesting job. This is one of the more interesting jobs you're ever going to see because it is a desirable job. They have a very good roster. It is in New York City. And most importantly, it's in the Eastern Conference. And the Eastern Conference right now, the landscape is a lot more friendly than the Western Conference. And so, yes, it's a very desirable job. But then again, this is a flawed roster. The reason that they are no longer playing is because the flaws in the roster were exploited by the Indiana Pacers. And while that roster can be changed, it won't be easy because they've spent so many of their assets to put this starting five together. They also just ran a gentleman out of there who was their most successful coach in 2 decades, who had back-to-back 50-win seasons and made the conference finals. The standard that you're going to have to overachieve on is going to be very difficult. And you're going to do it in the hottest media environment that we have in the country. So it is a very complex job. I do think that there are a number of people that they can look at. There are three different levels where I sit and see right now. One would be the three guys who were successful coaches in the league last year that were surprisingly fired. Mike Brown, coming off Coach of the Year not too long ago, had the Kings had their best seasons in 20 years. He was fired. He's definitely a strong candidate. You've got Michael Malone, who kind of is a little bit like Tom Thibodeau and his unwillingness to go too deep into the bench and his rigidity, but is a championship-level coach who instantaneously demands the respect of veterans. So that's what you've got there in New York, so he'd definitely be considered. And you have Taylor Jenkins, who might have ended up coming close to a 50-win team with the Grizzlies and was fired with 2 weeks left to go in the season, who was, again, experienced head coach. Then you look at sort of the off-the-board guys, and that's where you have to look at Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff Van Gundy has gotten rave reviews for his work with the LA Clippers and the Boston Celtics over the last couple of years. He knows what it takes to be a head coach in New York. Would be an excellent option. I don't know if he wants the job, though, Molly, because, you know, he's a guy who is very close to Tom Thibodeau. And, you know, I see saw the way he was treated, and I'm not sure he would want it. And then you would go look at maybe some people who had never been NBA head coaches before. That's where you think about a Jay Wright or maybe a Royal Ivy as a top assistant.
Yeah, a couple of things. And Brian is sharp as heck. He knows a lot more about this than me. And I understand the Nick job, Eastern Conference, New York City, Madison Square Garden. I get that. But you got to work for the owner. And Dolan is a guy that if I was making that decision and I had a good job, I'd be very, very careful about working for him. Because the guy who takes a job is going to call all his old coaches, including Van Gundy, including Dave Checkets. He's going to call a lot of people who work for Dolan to get the real scoop. And that scoop probably, I don't know this, but I don't think it would be that pretty. So that's number one. And that might put some guys tempered. I don't think Van Gundy's ever going to take it based on what Winhurst Brian said regarding the whole scenario with Thibodeau, which is his best friend. I don't think he's going to do that. Plus, don't forget, he walked out on Dolan before the season, you know, a couple of years, you know, 2001. He walked out on him right in the middle of the season. So I don't think that Van Gundy's a candidate. And remember, that is a very, very tough sell to tell us in New York while we fired Tom Thibodeau, who got to the Eastern Conference Final, and now we're going to bring in a fired coach from another franchise. So Thibodeau's not the answer, but Mike Brown is. Thibodeau's not the answer, but Taylor Jenkins is. I don't think Malone's getting a job. He's too much like Thibodeau. Listen, they get somebody. I don't think Jay Wright's going to coach in the NBA. I know people have mentioned Hurley because, you know, the Knicks are his dream job. I don't think the Knicks are going there either. So I don't think those two will happen. I understand. I get everything that Brian said, and he knows a lot more about this, and he's plugged in than I am. But the Knicks fan to have a press conference and say, here's Mike Brown, our new head coach, that's not going to fly in New York City.
And it shouldn't fly. And I love Mike Brown. But it shouldn't fly when you just let go of a coach that won back-to-back 50-win seasons for you for the first time in 25 years, took you to the conference finals for the first time in 25 years. You can't. That's not good enough. That you can't justify letting go of a Tom Thibodeau and bringing in somebody with a comparable resume, even though Mike Brown has had some success, you know, coaching LeBron James and ultimately being, I thought he did a hell of a job in Sacramento. I thought they were premature in letting him go, and their comeuppance arrived with how they struggled in the aftermath of his departure, because I thought that, you know, it was just not that good of a situation. But here's the deal. I'll give my list of coaches later in terms of in the show when the producers tell me to, in terms of, you know, my list of who should be the top five candidates for the job. I think desirable is too strong of a word, and you have to compartmentalize it. If you're talking about being in the media capital of the world, having the bright lights microscopically, you know, raining down upon you, then I would say to you, that's different. And the reason I say that is because some coaches want that, and they want that sizzle, and they want that shine, and there's an allure of coaching at Madison Square Garden, no doubt about that. But when you look at the team, even though it's good and it's going to be a playoff team, they're limited in the movement that they can exercise in the future. You gave up 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, including 4 unprotected. You only have 1 pick that you can move around, 1 first-round pick, over the next 6 or 7 years. You also gave up another first-round pick when you acquired Carl Anthony Towns. So you improved offensively, but you compromised depth, you compromised toughness, and you compromised flexibility. That compromises the allure of the job being considered attractive. And that's what I think the Knicks are looking at right now.
I'm gonna try to bust out what I look like. I'm gonna try to wear, I pull up all brains. Jimmy with the heat, I'm on fire. It's NBA over here, it's been fun.